And welcome back to 216 Baseball, Cleveland Baseball Podcast. His name's Alex and my name's Paul. And if your favorite baseball team should have changed their name to the Cleveland Ride Warriors because this whole season's been a fucking roller coaster, then you're in the right spot. Let's get into it. Hey, Alex, what's going on, man? How you doing, brother?
All right, for the not one, not two, not three, four, five, for the sixth time, I'm doing great, I suppose. I feel
It's Groundhog Day at this point.
Yeah, we're trying everything. We think we've got it figured out. I don't really know. After this, it's like they don't want to see us win. I don't know what we do.
After this, I might just have to move to Indianapolis, and we're going to have to do it that way.
Yeah, and I feel like a producer back in the lab and shit. I'm hosting it. Usually you do, so I'm out here just like making sure everything's good. But no, I'm good. For anybody that still cares or wonders or that this podcast is around, it is. This is literally our sixth try. Our third actual sit down to try and do it, right? I think third or fourth. We made it through the entire thing on Thursday and didn't get to keep any of it. So you can imagine how we feel that we're going to try again. The other times we just lost a lot of time. It didn't get anywhere. On Thursday, we literally recorded the entire thing. The entire thing. And Paul's files were corrupted.
And then when I was uploading everything, the files corrupted. We had Alex's, but we didn't have mine. This is the joy of recording a podcast remotely when you're not in the same place.
We're not really sure. That's what's scary.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell happened. So,
but
I did everything I could in my power to try to get them back with some of my IT magic. But I pretty much got like a big old middle finger from the internet.
Yeah, that shit was just fucked. But, okay, the good news is, if anybody hears this, right, ever, it is the 30th episode, so it feels like somewhat of an anniversary. And I think we've polished this intro now as well as possible on our sixth try, excuse me. Clearly, I didn't polish it that well. That we're just so pumped and we can't believe it's been over 3 months now that we've been doing this. And you got a fucking gnat?
Yeah, there was like a gnat flying around.
Ah, shit. Nothing's worse than that.
Fuck.
But we've been doing it for
not on the 30th episode.
Yeah, not get out of here, gnat. Don't disrespect. This is a house of learned doctors. But but no, we, all seriousness, I don't even know where I'm going with it other than like, I can't believe we get to do this.
Yeah, it's crazy. 3 months ago, we started doing this. It goes back even further than that. Like one day I was like, we should start a podcast.
Just I'd say that was six to eight-ish.
Yeah, maybe it was like the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And mostly just because like I think that we're pretty funny. Like I laugh when we talk.
Streets agree.
Yeah, and I figured that, I mean, our conversations are worth recording. And it'd be something fun to look back on to one day. And then I kind of had the idea of doing it one on the Indians. But I was like, hey, it's such a niche market that I think it'd be a little rough. So I kind of put the idea in the back of my mind. I was kept thinking on things. And then one day you were like, I think Taylor had said something about it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And
I just texted you one day. I was like, we got to start a. We need to start an Indians podcast. And as always, and then, your vibes are always like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, okay, cool.
Fuck it, man. I'm down for the ride. Like, whatever happens, happens, man.
We have learned so much.
Fast forward 3 months, and if you would have told me that over 29 episodes, we'd have almost 900 downloads, I would have called you a crackhead, because – when we started this, I thought it was going to be like you, me, Taylor, in our families, the only people that listen to this. And now that seems like they're the only people that don't listen to it.
Yeah, it's like they download maybe, but like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, I have to be cute. It's all right. It's a lot of content. It's deep baseball stuff, but we've got love for
strangers. I know my dad listens to a lot of the episodes while he's at work because he drives a truck. So,
honk, honk.
So he has a lot of time where he can sit there and listen to it. But other than that, I know no one else in my immediate family listens to it. So.
Yeah, I think we might get some DLs from them, but
yeah,
there's a lot more per episode than you we'd know,
ever imagined, especially just starting off 3 months into it.
Yeah, it was a lot to put ourselves out there and kind of roll with it, and then we just decided, like, fuck it,
let's do it. It started off with a logo and a song.
It did. A banger of a song, a hell of a logo that you created, and a good formula from the start, and a lot of support and feedback from people. You know, our close family and trying to tune it up, and we want to continue to make it better, which is my segue to say that because they don't want to see us win and we're literally two series behind, this was a time that Paul and I have been waiting for. It kind of presented a good opportunity where we're going to do a 2-for-1 episode because we want to always push it out there. We want to stay consistent. And this gave us a chance to kind of experiment. We always knew the scoring summaries probably weren't exactly where we wanted them to be from the amount of time that it was taking me to prepare those and kind of detracting from the ability to just naturally talk about the games, which is where we think the most the best part of the content comes from versus basically stat reiteration. And we're still going to do a lot of that because numbers are numbers. And believe me, I'm not going to apologize for loving them. And that's baseball. But
fucking nerd.
Yeah, I am a nerd, but that's fine. Whatever. But the, you know, the scoring summary is not only the time, the preparation, what all it is. Yeah. We've been just trying to find a way, and we've experimented, and we've thought, and we've been like, so we're like, okay, we think we came up with a new formula that makes the preparation for it a lot less, and also we'll carve out times for kind of, we're going to call them game highlights. So we're basically going to do scoring highlights, which is going to be an extremely abbreviated version of the scoring. And then game highlights for Paul to kind of add some of that commentary that he used to, but carve out kind of time for it as well. And the hope that it'll kind of condense some of it. And it's not that the episodes have to be shorter, but less blah, blah, you know, going on and more like, let's talk about what happened. Let's get off on the tangents.
And I think that's what makes our content, not to like toot our own horns or anything, but like makes our content so good is because you are so like analytical and about the numbers, and where we don't disagree in that aspect because obviously numbers matter, stats are stats for a reason, but I'm more like eyeball test, knowing like the intricate details of the game for having played my entire life.
Yeah.
And like there's that difference there where we can kind of hit every aspect of baseball.
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, we don't want it to be and it's still good. And, you know, it took a lot of work to create those and we're proud of all that. But we just always knew it wasn't really where we kind of wanted it. And not that it was bad, but and some of it came from me as well of just the preparation was like I'm spending more time on this than I need to versus like being able to absorb the game and discuss it more than just what's in front of me stats wise. Which, you know, we'll come through. Our conversations are the more enjoyable part. Otherwise, anybody can open up stats and scroll through them and go through them. So this gave us a perfect opportunity, assuming anybody ever hears this. And we're feeling pretty good today. Good vibes to explore and work on that. And it'll help shorten it up, especially in a 2-for-1 episode. But we're still going to do one episode per series after this. It's just this is a 2-for-1. Two episodes a week. And we really think that you guys are going to enjoy this. And we've gone through it literally all the way through. And I'm pretty happy with the way that it kind of played out. And we'll continue to fine tune it and make this thing better. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you to everybody that listens and for supporting us. And we look forward to continue, you know, to make it better and go on the journey too of being the Guardians next year and making that transition. And there's a lot to be excited about.
I'm excited about this year. Yes, some of these talks that we've already kind of had scheduled for like the off season.
Yeah,
we talked about that. We're only going to do probably one episode a week during the off season.
Yeah, a little bit of a break.
Yeah, but it's going to be more like baseball discussion rather than the Indians or the Guardians discussion. We're gonna deep dive more into probably some like not competition, but like some more debates about stuff between you and me about players. Yeah, it could just be baseball talk.
Yeah. Yeah, and in transaction stuff. Hopefully we'll be busy this winter. I'm really looking
forward to that. The Indians are not making the playoffs, so it's going to be fun to break down the playoffs from an outside perspective.
Yeah, we'll probably do like one a week on that. That's a good. Yeah. That'll get us through October, and then free agency.
That'll be fun to do. And obviously, we want the Indians to be in the playoffs every year. But when they don't make it, I won't say I enjoy it when they don't make it, because, like I said, I want them to be in there because we love this team wholeheartedly, and it hurts every day of my life. But it's fun to just be a baseball fan for a little bit.
It is. It kind of takes the pressure off, and then you can sit back, and I'm going to root hard as fuck for the Brewers. Like, brew up, baby. Like, Brew Crew, as soon as the calendar flips, which I think they play a couple games in October. I think we play until October 5th. But October 6th, or whatever that date is, Brew Crew, baby. Like, let's go to the fucking moon.
I mean, I'm a fucking... I've talked about Larry since, like, the first episode. Raise up. Like...
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, I'm on the Rays train, baby.
Let's go. Let's see if they can't get some vengeance. Run that Kansas City Royals shit back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what the Kansas City Royals did.
I mean, San Francisco's dangerous. Obviously, they have the best record in
baseball. Literally right now, the most insane storyline. There's nothing.
No, hey, no reason why they should. Out of nowhere, they're this good.
Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to be like a couple games under 500, and that would have been kind of easy money if you were putting like over-unders. Like, there's no reason they should be this good. This is like a higher power coming in. And I was thinking about something, and then we'll jump into it because we got a lot to get into.
Yeah.
I just want to make a comment, and I don't want to sound like I wouldn't be bandwagon. I'll just get to it. I can't remember. I didn't say it on the podcast, but I can't remember if we said it to our friends or not. And I don't want to sound like the guy after the fact. It's always easier, you know, to be like, oh, in hindsight. I just would like to say, all along, I questioned the Padres. I don't think I ever said it to you, but all along in my head, I'm like, you can't buy the best pieces and just jumble them all together just because you bought them and make it a team that's going to win. I knew it all along.
Look at what the Yankees did when they the Yankees completely turned around their season at the trade deadline. Like, if you look at the team they had before the trade deadline and now, they bought their entire. The Yankees have been doing it. They fucking did it 27 times. Let's be real.
I get it. But they also have the most incredible farm system, and they just squeeze shit out of guys. So I understand that's a quick, like, hey, look what they did. But adding Gallo and Rizzo wasn't the only thing. That's helped them, don't get me wrong, but they've gotten some vibes, some things have fallen their way. I'm saying even at the start of the season, I'm like, you can't just buy everybody you want, throw them together, and be like, just assume you're going to win a World Series. You kind of need the little pieces in between that come up together and grow, and you don't just buy all the parts and throw it together and an unlimited check. And it doesn't just guarantee you're going to go win and be unstoppable. Yeah. That is not like the Dodgers buy people, but their farm system is incredible, and they just squeeze talent out of everybody, you know? And so they develop a lot of their players, and then they buy what they need to. But it felt like the Padres all along were just like, I'm going to buy this piece, and then I'm going to buy this piece, and then I'm going to give this person a $300 million, and then I'm going to buy this piece. And it's like, you can't buy your starting nine, and then even if they're all-stars or play well above average, throw them in the same room and be like, and go, and expect that, like, on the other side, it all adds up to, like, 100 and something wins. Like, that's not how baseball works, and I love that about it. And again, they're still a good team, but, like, they just give up the wild card today. Like, last night, they're half game behind, and they're not going to win the division.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. And, again, it sounds like too little too late, but I'm too self-important.
But, like, the thing is, right, so...
I could have guessed that. If you would have given me the bet and said, are they going to win the West?
You also got to remember, right, they've been slumping the past month. What happened?
Longer than that, dog. They've been playing, like, 500 ball for, like, 45 days. Seriously.
Okay, month and a half, right? In that month and a half, they lost their star player for, what, 3 weeks? A month, maybe?
Something, not that long. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Tatis is out.
Yeah, he's back now, but now they have him playing the outfield for some reason.
Yeah, because they got bought too many fucking people. Like,
yeah.
Hey, So, like, they
lost their star player for a month.
Really?
So, obviously, you're going to start
their whole team are star players. I mean, Tatis is a freak.
He's one of the faces of Major League. I mean,
Just saying, it's not like we lose Jose and it's like, shit. I mean, we were just in survival mode. I mean, you lose Tatis and it's like, that sucks, but you're like, I got Manny Machado, I got Eric Hosmer.
I'm pretty sure you're the one who told me Manny Machado's overrated as hell.
No, that's not me. Manny Machado's a dog. I love me some Manny. No, not me.
I argued someone for like 45 minutes. Something like Manny Machado's super overrated. I was like, you are high as eagle coochie right now. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, Manny Machado's a monster. That was not me. He's been on my fantasy team in a couple of years. Not this year, but, I mean, literally a career 280 hitter, 245 home runs, 44 war, and the dude is 29 years old.
Yeah.
He just turned 29. He's got 44 career war. Not me, believe me. That dude is a monster.
Yeah, and his defense at third is fucking... If it wasn't for Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado's winning gold gloves left and right.
Yeah, no, Nolan's Matt Chapman's a monster.
Nolan's a different breed, but like Manny Machado has made some fucking phenomenal plays at third base this year that just go under the radar.
Yeah. Dude, you don't have to convince me. I love him. I mean, he's literally got a career he's kind of 826. He's a huge chotch. But I mean, in order here, real fast. Let me see. He first played in 2013. He only hit 14 home runs, but he was young. He was a baby. Then he hit 12. And then in 2015, 35 homers, 37, 33, 37. 36. Okay, sorry, I already hit that. 32, 16, and 20 in the short season, and 22 this year. So the power's down a little bit, but he's still... I mean, the dude's a monster. He just prints stuff. I would rather have him than Bryce Harper. I'm a Manny Machado guy. But anyway.
Yeah, you know me and Bryce Harper. Like, I'm a Bryce Harper stan.
That's fair. But yeah, no, I show Manny Machado some love. But I don't know what made me want to say that. I was just thinking about it. Like, I want to put it out there on the airwaves that I would like to at some point go on record. I hope they do well. I don't have anything against the Padres. It's just I think they're exhibit 1A of, you know, I'd say the same thing about the Yankees. They bought their team and they can't get past the ALCS to save their life. You know, Ray's got like a $20 million payroll and a bag of chips and a bunch of analytics and made it to the World Series. You know, and the Dodgers buy their team, but not the same way that the Yankees and the Padres have. Like, their farm system is incredible. They're just, their whole organization just shits excellence. They're like, I'm not going to wake up. I'm not going to lie. I wake up in the morning and I piss excellence.
I piss excellence. I'm the best that ever's done it.
Yeah. Plain and simple, I'm the best there is. But... anyway, all right. You want to get into the games? Thanks for letting me get off on that crazy tangent.
Tangents are what people are here for.
They are. All right. So game one, this happened. Oh, let's see if I can even keep it together. This happened last Friday.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, last Friday. So we're three games against the Tigers. Game one was Plesac versus Alexander. The Indians come in looking to get back in the win column after they dropped three in a row to get swept by the A's on back-to-back blown games by the bullpen. And they got their backs blown out on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, a good old-fashioned Dickens.
Good old-fashioned. So they're trying to get back in the win column, and they get the job done. They take the series opener last Friday, 7-4, so good vibes. Quick line, Cleveland 7 on 9 hits and no errors. And Detroit, 4 runs on 7 hits and 2 errors. And hey, 2 errors.
Yeah, you don't deserve to win baseball games.
There it is. So, quick scoring highlights here. Top of the third, Ernie Clement, solo shot. His first major league home run, and it gives the Tribe a 1-0 lead. Still top of the third, Amed Rosario, RBI single. Tribe extends their lead again. Extends their lead 2-0. Top of the fourth, Yu Chang, RBI triple. Okay. Extend their lead again, 3-0. And then Austin Hedges.
And we know that Comerica Park is like a triples.
Yeah.
Fucking. If you hit the ball anywhere from left center to right center,
and it gets and passed,
it gets to triple. The wall, it's a triple. Yep. The way that unless it jets out right there. Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
True. So still top of the fourth, Austin Hedges, sack fly. Indians now lead at 4-0, so just keep on going. Bottom of the fifth, though, Eric Haas, solo shot, his 19th of the year, and the Tigers get on the board, but they still trail it 4-1. They're not done yet this inning. Robbie Grossman, RBI double to right field. Tigers now trail it 4-2. Top of the sixth, though, Owen Miller, sack fly. Tribe gets back on top by 3 here, leading it 5-2. Yu Chang, solo shot, his third of the year. Extend their lead. Now they're up 6-2. All right, so he's got an RBI triple and a solo shot. So hardest part of the cycle. We've talked
about it over and over again that the Indians are out of this world when they have four runs, when they have a four-run lead.
Yeah, they just win. Yeah. So top of the seventh, Ernie Clement, leadoff solo shot, his second career homer, and that's his second homer of the game. Have a day, dude.
Yeah.
Tribe now leads it 7-2. And then the bottom of the ninth, Renuto Nunez, two-run shot. Tigers now trail it 7-4, but that's where their magic stops. Tribe takes the series opener in the Motor City. And felt good. Get back in the win column. Take Friday's game, dude, with Plesak on the bump, and we'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah, and we talked about Ernie Clement having his first two home runs of his major league career in this one. The first one was just a liner that snuck out. Yep. But his second one was a fucking bomb that got hit like somewhere 8 to 10 rows up in left field, just turned on it and fucking sent that shit. And Ernie Clement's like, oh, wait, we want to score runs. We're just going to go ahead and hit the ball over. But storyline in this one, well, not storyline, but big news in this one, Franmil gets tossed in the top of the third. Arguing balls and strikes with the umpire. He just went a little bit too long, was a little upset. And obviously he's frustrated. At this point, he's like 0 for 19, I think.
Yep. He let him go for a while before he tossed him, which, I mean, we all would because you got to really mean
6'5", 260, and
look him in the eye and say, you get out of there. He could just pick you up and be like, no, you're out of here.
No, get over here.
Yeah, get over here.
But, other than that, I mean, it was pretty – it was a fun game to watch. A lot of runs, seven runs in this one, which is above average for us. So it was good to see some offense. Yeah.
Yeah. So the big story, though, I mean, obviously seven runs is good vibes, but Plesak, dog, he needed a big bounce-back start, and as he's kind of been stinking a lot lately. He goes 7 2/3, 5 hits – no walks, 2 earned runs, 9 strikeouts, and gets the dub. I mean, just a great outing. Great bounce back. Absolutely shoved.
Yeah.
No walks. 5 hits across almost 8 innings with only 2 runs. Like, let's go. That's vintage Plesak, man, giving you length.
And I've kind of talked about it before, and I'll probably bring it up again this episode, but he looked very relaxed in this one. Not like he has been since he got back. He's looked up until this start, he looked real tight, real tense. Maybe it's because he's thrown in Comerica Park where he's played a lot in his career. So maybe he had some like sense of comfort playing a team that's not very great. Yeah. But I don't, there was like a, he went back to being like his goofy, loose self where he's just out there having fun throwing the ball. And I think that's a big thing for him. I feel like we had a discussion where I feel like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself right now because he's the Indians quote unquote ace because Bieber's gone. And
Bali. Yeah.
So I think that he's putting pressure on himself to be that guy and to prove that he can be that guy. And it's just tightened him up a whole lot. And it was good to see him loosen up, just go out there and have fun and throw the ball, let your defense make some plays for you.
Yeah. And, I mean, then the bullpen only has to give you an inning and a third, so you save them as well. And they go, you know, inning in the third. Basically, you have Brian Shaw comes in and gets that last out in the eighth. He gives
Brian
up a hit.
They call Brian Shaw in to face Miggy, which we talked about last episode. The whole storyline of every Tiger
this
series,
episode, we've just tried to record it 500 times.
Well, we talked about last yet. We talked about last episode when we did the Tigers recap or preview, I guess.
Oh, I didn't think we brought it up yet. Sorry.
Well, maybe not, but if we did last episode, if not, the whole storyline of every Tiger series from here until it happens, Miguel Cabrera is sitting at 499 career home runs. So he's chasing 500, and every time he hit a ball in this series, anytime he made contact, the whole stands is like,
you could be a pop-up.
Pop
up behind the catcher, you know, like to the backstop, and everyone's like, is it going to get out?
Which, if anyone on the Indians was like that, we'd be the same way. Like,
oh, yeah, I mean, you're in rare air, dude.
Yeah, and they call on Shaw to face him.
Which just feels right. I think we all would have been like, yep, this is it, and nobody's going to be mad. Like, send it.
Even if you would have hit it in the series at all, I know Indians fans are going to be like, oh, fuck that guy. Like,
yeah. I mean, we're 500 home crazy runs. Crazy history. One of the best right-handed hitters, you know, that we'll see.
Yeah, so. And he's a dude around the league, and we kind of talked about it a lot. Well, one of the times we tried to record
one of the five other times we tried.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like he's mentoring a lot of kids, like throughout baseball. It seems like not even just people on the Tigers. Like he's got a lot of friends in baseball. He's played with a lot of people and against a lot of people. And you can kind of see it where he's like fucking with people at first base, taking like their batting gloves out of their pocket.
Oh, yeah,
like
no, he messes with a lot
and
of guys.
And he's having fun. And like that's the way baseball is supposed to be played. Like, it's a fun
grew
game.
Up watching him in like his prime. You guys want to go get your rocks off? Go Baseball Reference and look at Miggy from 2004 to like 2016. And, keep some tissues around.
We had the conversation, I think, on our way back from St. Louis, comparing Miggy and Albert Pujols.
Yeah, which isn't fair, but it's Albert.
Pujols is fucking...
Miggy from 04 to 16 is like
video like that's game. Not against the Indians, because we lived rent-free and... We were majority owners.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time where, I mean, Prime Miggy won the freaking Triple Crown.
Yeah.
He was in like 333 with like 50 home runs and like 130 RBIs.
But
he
like, was that was terrifying. It was back when like the Tigers were like legit. Like, they were.
Never forget, the Tigers had Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, David Price, and I'm forgetting one. And, what's his name? He won the Cy Young. When he won like Rick Porcello, they had Porcello, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, and David Price in the same rotation, and didn't win the World Series. So,
I mean, that's like us in 2016. Like,
yeah, but we didn't have Cookie, and don't get me, don't.
Our starting rotation 2016 was fucking nuts.
It was. And that was before Clevinger really came into his own. I was looking at the stats the other day and got sad. Anyway, all right. So bullpen only has to get four outs. Shaw gets the out, or only gives up one hit, no runs. So he gets through there. And then Karinchak comes in for the ninth with a 5-run lead. He's trying to get his head on straight. He gives up a walk and a 2-run shot, which happens. But you know, when you can't get through the ninth with a 5-run lead without giving something up, and they had to get the bullpen going because we're like, all right, is this going to happen? At this point, Karinchak's just kind of broken. And this is our sixth time recording it, so I know how you feel. In a vacuum, this performance would not warrant it. However, in the last week and a half prior to this, the dude is broken. And like bringing somebody in the ninth, with a 5-run lead, you know what I mean? And they still, that's not low enough pressure. Like, his head is just, he's broken right now.
It's not, and the thing is like, yeah, he walked one guy, right? But it's not like he threw, like, it's not like he was just like, how many strikes did he throw?
Like 14 out of 22. Which isn't so like, terrible.
Yeah, it's not like he had a terrible inning. He gave up one walk, which happens, and then he gave up a home run, which happens, to a Tigers team that has hitters. Like, it's not like the Tigers are lacking pitching. The Tigers can fucking hit. Like, we talked about this on one of the previews. They can hit. So, like, this is bound to happen. Shooters.
Yeah. If I know, but it's just lately we can't, you know, he's moved out of the high leverage eighth inning, you know, or he's, like, shit the bed a couple times. And then lately I think they brought him in like, the sixth or some weird role the other day, or we were losing and we brought – I mean, and it's just like, you know, damn it. It's not this exact performance. It's the whole portfolio of post-All-Star break. He's broken. The numbers are all there. He's got like a sub-5 Ks per nine, which you and I can throw a higher – like, we're waiting for that call. But even if we could strike out more than 5 Ks per nine, that's half, almost half a batter an inning. That's not good. That's his whole thing. He, the sticky stuff. And we talked about, too, you know, the transition and all that. But and, like, I want him to get better. It's important.
People are very quick to be like, oh, since the sticky stuff got banned, this guy's dog shit. He relied way too much on the sticky stuff. But my argument is, like, let's be real, right? You and the analogy that I used was, like, you deadlift every day for your entire life with the belt on, right?
Yep.
And then you go to a powerlifting meet, and they're like, guess what? No one's allowed to use fucking belts.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, your whole fucking routine is off. So... Yeah. You got to give these people like an off season, a spring training to readjust to getting used to using like to not using this stuff, or to this summer when they go through with the PA to go ahead and get something in the rule books like the sunscreen and rosin or some like
major league developed universal substance. I get it. I will say you're giving them too much credit though. He's kind of exposed, and you shouldn't rely on it that much as a major league pitcher. And you were the one that pointed out he's just digging for gold in that glove. Like,
Glasnow got hurt, but like Glasnow's like, I used it every day.
Yeah,
like,
there was a lot of guys that used it that aren't as broken as Karinchak is.
But there's guys that are just as broken as Karinchak is too.
We'll talk about it
in the next season, like, or in the next series, right? Like. What? Like the next series, he had a pretty good two games.
Yeah, he's getting there. I'm just saying the fall off was literally like top three, top five, maybe reliever in all of baseball to broken. Like he's got like a 7 ERA or an 8 ERA since the All-Star game or All-Star break. It's just rough. I want him to do well.
I wouldn't say he's broken.
When you can't even use him in a five, and that's baseball, so it's tough, but there's time and time again that it's like, where do we plug you? We can't trust you. Like, it's just not a good look when you get put in. So
with this being said, right? Up to this point, we shouldn't use Plesac. We shouldn't have Plesac be a starter, seeing that he's given up 5 runs a game besides this one.
Okay, those are two different things. I'm not saying we shouldn't use Karinchak. It's just, it's tough. What do you do with your high leverage guy who can't breathe easy when you try and bring him in? And then you start trying to get him back on track against the Tigers, who have some hitters, but aren't an offensive. It's not, the Twins are a more offensive threat than the Tigers are, but they have some hitters. And you bring him in the ninth with a 5-run lead. That's as relaxing as it gets. And it's just baseball. Sometimes it'll happen. It just sucks that it happens in that scenario and you still give up 2 runs. It's kind of like, that really sucks.
It's obviously you don't want anyone to give up runs, but like he walked one guy and then gave up a home run. That happens to literally the best high leverage. Like Aroldis Chapman has that happen to him sometimes. Like,
true. He was broken for a while there. Now he's getting back on track. Both these people are in my fantasy league, so I'm riding with all the pains lately.
It happens to literally everyone. Like, it's not just a James Karinchak thing.
Yeah. It's just since the ban, even before, because it was before the All-Star break, because what was it, June 20th? And, I mean, the stats just don't lie. I mean, it's like night and day. like a 15 strikeouts per nine to a 4.89 strikeouts per nine, I think was the stat, is nuts. That's like go jump off. That's like falling off a cliff. And the ERA, like 0.5 to like an 8 ERA. It's just, I mean, it's a crazy.
Imagine using something literally every day.
No, it'd be a big change.
Someone being like, guess what? Now you can't use it.
It'd be a big change. I'm probably being too hard, and I think you're being too soft on him. So let's say it's probably somewhere in the middle of you're still a major league pitcher, and you should be able to do it without like fucking spider tack on your fingers. Other people have adapted or haven't blown up as much. So we need him to get better. Yeah. We'll agree to disagree. Okay. Tell me about the offense, though.
Yeah, six.
People are like, there's still a game to talk about at this point.
We struck out six times and walked four times in this one, which is pretty fucking good. And we left 10 runners on base, but we scored 7 runs. So whatever. Like it's more times than not, we got people over and in. 9 hits, which 5 of them were extra base hits. So. Ooh, yeah, that's baby. How you're going to score runs.
Like that's the formula, baby.
Yeah. And there was, what, 3 home runs, a triple, and I think Ahmed had a double, if I'm remembering
Straw.
Right.
Straw had a double.
Yeah.
Ernie has 2 home runs. Yeah. Chang. Yeah, I mean.
And we went 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. So, like.
Not great there, but the home runs carried them. Yeah. They got the runs in. So we won.
You're not going to hear me complain about it.
True. Game 2, Henches versus Peralta. Indians come in looking to keep the good times rolling after winning the series opener on Friday night. After a great start from Plesac, and the offense actually showed up too for once. But they once again, Paul, cannot string wins together to save their lives. Okay. So quick line, Detroit 6 on 9 hits and no errors. Cleveland 4 runs on 8 hits and no errors. Quick scoring highlights. Bottom of the first, Jamer Candelario hits a 2-out, 2-run shot. And the Tigers take an early 2-0 lead. Top of the second, though, Oscar Mercado, RBI double. Tribe gets on the board but still trails it 2-1. Bottom of the second, Victor Reyes, RBI single. Tigers now lead at 3-1. Bottom of the fourth, Zach Short, RBI single. Tigers extend their lead again, now 4-1. Top of the fifth, Jose, RBI triple. Let's go, baby, that little chubby bunny. Ooh, Tribe still girl. Trails at 4-2, though. Still the top of the fifth, Franmil, RBI single. Good to see him do something here.
Breaks 0-for-19 with an RBI.
Yep. Tribe now trails at 4-3, so closing in. Top of the seventh, Wilson Ramos, RBI ground out. Tribe ties it up at 4 apiece. Let's go. But the bottom of the eighth, Eric Haas, bases loaded, 2-run single, puts the Tigers back on top 6-4, and that's how it stays. The Tribe's bats fall dead silent in the ninth, and once again, like I said, they cannot win back-to-back games or string anything together to save their life, and they drop game 2.
Yeah, and... obviously, some of it falls on Henches. Some of it falls on this whole game was pretty much a bullpen game. Henches gives you his limits been like his limit's been like 40 pitches, so it's pretty much a bullpen game at this point. I mean, we gave up 7 runs, so six runs.
Well, the whole. All the relievers and stuff combined. Yeah. Gave up 6.
So.
I know.
There's not really much to talk about. It is LT Gray's night. So Detroit's hype. Honoring all the Hispanic heritage. So everyone's wilding out. This is the night Miggy's supposed to hit it, right?
Yeah. This is the night. It might just happen.
He doesn't. He does hit his 2,951st hit.
Yep.
And so he's only 49 away from 3,000, which is, again, rare air.
Man, 3,000 hits and 500 home runs.
Uh-huh. Sir. I'm hoping he doesn't get 500 this year or 3,000. I hope his 3,000th hit is his 500th home run, because that would be dope.
That would be brutal.
Yeah.
I think he'll run into one between then, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. But I will say a highlight from this one is Bradley Zimmer. Probably he had the most picture-perfect drag bunt I have ever seen in my entire life. Just place this baby ball down right between second base, the second baseman, the first baseman, the pitcher, and then just said, I'm faster than all of you guys, so
yeah, true.
Bye.
My butt.
And gets a bunt single down down the first baseline and just zooms because his legs are so long and he's so fast.
Oh my god, his legs keep me up at night. I just start sweating sometimes. 3 a.m. Yeah. Roll over looking for that water, thinking about Bradley Zimmer's legs. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about the bullpen game, right? So Hench is, at the end of the day, you know, 2 innings, 4 hits, no walks, which you like to see from him, but 3 earned runs and 3 strikeouts. Technically the starter, but like we said, it's just a bullpen game. It's just not good at all. I mean, 3 runs and 2 innings pitched. So now the rest of the bullpen, you're hoping to stretch him a little bit more than that. Luckily, you only need 6 more innings out of your bullpen because, you know, we're away and you didn't get anything done in the 9th. So Stefan comes in to give you the 3rd and 4th inning. He does 1-run ball on 2 hits and 2 walks, so not his sharpest. Parker comes in, doesn't poop his pants in the 5th and gives you a perfect inning with a strikeout.
Parker hits Miggy in this one and gets probably the loudest boo I've ever heard in my entire life. He was like the number one hated person in Detroit at that moment.
Yeah, like, someone like ready to throw hands outside the tunnel after the game.
So that
Wickren happened. Though, 6th and 7th inning, perfect with 3 strikeouts. So, like, just building blocks, maybe, to get you through the game. Yep. And then Brian Shaw comes in. He gets 1 out, okay, in the 8th inning.
Brian Shaw walks Miggy.
Yep. Walks Miggy, gives up 3 hits, 2 earned runs, and gets 1 fucking out, okay? Mm-hmm. He takes his 6th loss of the year. And then Alex Young comes in, gets 2/3 of an inning to finish off the 8th. But the damage is already done. I mean, in 1/3 of an inning, you get 1 out and you give up 3 hits and a walk and 2 runs. And it's just like, come on, man.
Yep.
Fuck Brian Shaw. I know it's going to happen sometimes, but I think everybody can pretty much get on that train. Like,
yeah.
What the so Brian Shaw that loses it.
Train.
Yeah. You can literally just eat my butt. So, I mean, that loses it. Talk to me about the offense.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the pitching in this one, and the offense wasn't that much better. 12 strikeouts to 6 walks, which isn't great, but it's not terrible, right? I mean, you have a 50% walk to strikeout ratio, so not terrible.
A lot of strikeouts, but the walks are kind of nice.
But we left 22 fucking runners on base, and we talked about how the bullpen, quote unquote bullpen, gave this one up, but like, you can't leave 22 runners on base and expect to win a ball game. Holy fucking shit. 8 hits, and half of them were extra base hits, which is fucking fantastic, but we couldn't get anyone in.
Yeah, it's usually a good formula.
We went 3-for-15 with runners in scoring position, which isn't great at all.
Like, they had 12 more opportunities. Yeah. Like, it's a 200 batting average with runners in scoring position, which isn't good, but you had 15 shots with runners, not even runners on, runners in scoring position. You had 15 shots and only hit 3 of them. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you deserve to lose. That's like the equivalent of 2 errors. Like, you deserve to lose.
Just a lot of, like, not clutch hitting. 6 out of our 8 hits were from the 1 through 4, sorry. So, Straw.
Yeah, the meat.
What is it? Straw, Ahmed, Jose, Fran Mill. Fran Mill. So, which usually is you're setting up your table setters are getting on, so you want people to get in. Zimmer and Jose both had 2 of them. So there's 4 of the 6 right there. So Ahmed and Fran Mill both had 1 hit. Jose had
the double. Well, that was through the 1-4. Zimmer wasn't in the 1-4.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's batting nine.
But they both had multi-hit games. Jose.
So the other two hits outside of the 1-4 came from Zimmer.
Yep.
So no one else other than Zimmer and 1-4 got hits. So
no, you're really struggling, bud. That's not true. Mercado had a hit and Jimenez had a hit.
So how did 6 of our 8 hits?
Oh, Zimmer was number 2. Never mind. Oh shit. This is just all messed up. Can we have technical difficulties right now so we can redo this? I'm just kidding. Please, God, please.
Yeah. Fuck.
Sorry, Zimmer was number 2. Yeah, my bad. You were right. So then the only other people were Jimenez and Mercado had a hit. That's my bet.
Okay.
I thought Ahmed played in this game.
But we also stole 3 bags in this one. Jose, Straw, and Jimenez all got a bag off of Peralta and Haas. So
same pitcher-catcher duo. Yep. Just disrespect.
Just eating them up all day.
So before I move on to the third game, the analogy I would use is... No, like, one side of the triangle was terrible, but none of it was good. It was just kind of, all of it. The bullpen, I mean, the starting wasn't really starting, but let's just, you know, however you want to put it. Starting, bullpen, that whole pitching effort in the offense was all just, and it just added up to not enough. Everybody had blame.
It was, like, slightly below average everywhere.
Yep, I would agree. Game 3, though, McKenzie versus Hutchison. Indians come in hoping, wishing, praying that one day, if God willing, they'll win 2 games in a row. Something they've only done twice since the All-Star break. You heard that right. They've only won 2 games in a row twice since the All-Star break.
I'm getting my butterflies thinking about this game.
Yeah, I know. They technically can't do that on Sunday because they lost on Saturday, but they could still win the series. And they do. They get the job done. They win the series behind an absolute masterpiece from T-Mac. An offensive blowout. I know I'm sweating thinking about it.
And 2 innings in offensive blowout. Other than the second and third inning.
Literally nothing happens. So Cleveland, 11 runs, 14 hits, no errors. And listen closely. Detroit, no runs. 1 hit in 2 errors.
Yeah, and can we talk about how that's, what is that, 8 errors for Detroit?
It might be 6. I think you're thinking of the Twins.
Oh, yeah.
That's, not even that many. You're thinking of the Twins. They had 4, though. They had 2 in 2 separate games, which it's the mark of a really bad team. But the quick scoring highlights before we talk about all that really matters, and I mean, it's amazing they blow it out, but I mean... top of the second, Owen Miller grounds into a fielder's choice. That brings a run home on a catching error by Tigers catcher Grayson Griner. With a name like that, you deserve it. So the Tribe strikes first with a 1-0 lead, but they're nowhere near done. Still the top of the second, okay? Austin Hedges, 2-run double, so we're up 3-0. Ahmed Rosario grounds into a double play, but he gets a run home in the process. Tribe extends their lead. Now it's 4-0. Jose, 2-run bomb, 26th of the year. Tribe now leads it 6-0 in the second. So already feeling really good. But wait, there are more innings and there's more runs. Top of the third, bases juiced. Miles Straw, RBI single. Tribe's now up 7-0. Ahmed Rosario with the bases loaded still. 3-run triple. And Tribe now leads it 10-0.
And I saw a stat, right? At this point, Ahmed Rosario has 27 hits with runners in scoring position. And 27 RBIs. Ooh, baby.
Love to see it. Love to see that.
Ooh, baby.
That is a spicy meatball.
Yeah.
And then in the third, Jose, RBI double. Tribe now leads it 11-0. And that's how it stays, like we talked about. We destroy the Tigers pitching.
Yeah.
And T-Mac takes a perfect game to the 8th inning. And almost gets through the 8th inning.
8 2/3.
7 2/3.
7 2/3. Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. 7 2/3.
I know. Got me sweating thinking about it.
Obviously, the story of this one, T-Mac going 7 2/3 of a perfect game. Gives up 1 hit, and it's just he got beat.
Fastball in.
Threw a fastball outside. guy just went out there, got it, took it that way, hit it to right field. So that there's nothing you can do about that. It was a good hit.
And showbiz.
Yeah, but it's just an onslaught of hitting early to boost us to the win in this one. And this is the last time we're going to see the Tigers this year. So what better way to take the season from the Tigers and dumping an 11 piece on them in almost a perfect game.
Yeah, like, true. Smell you later.
Yeah. Have fun in the offseason, bitch.
We're going to be there right with them on October 6th, though, look, so we can't really say dick.
Yeah, but we beat them 11 to nothing, so.
That's true.
That's the only thing that matters.
It is. Yeah, I mean, 8 innings, 1 hit, 11 strikeouts and a dub. I mean, just an absolute masterpiece. And I mean, he took a perfect game almost through 8. He got 23 outs in a row.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. And then on top of that, you save the bullpen other than the masterpiece, and we almost watched history. I think there's only 23 perfect games in history. I mean, just the rarest of air. The last one was 9 years ago from King Felix with Seattle. I mean, just the rarest air. Klasse gives you a 9th. They just got to use them. They're like, bruh, we kind of suck, and we either blow people out or the bullpen blows it. So you want to throw a baseball? He's like, sure, fam. I'm going to give you a perfect 9th inning with 2 strikeouts. He's like, it's 10 pitches, 7 strikes. Finishes it off. But give me a few more stats here on offense as well.
10 strikeouts to 3 walks, which is not very great. A 33% walk to strikeout rate, which not terrible, not great.
Of course.
Yeah, a 33.3 repeating, of course. But we left 21 runners on base, which isn't good. But we scored 11 fucking runs. We had so many runners on base to begin with.
Yeah.
So we had 14 hits. 5 of them were extra base hits. We went 7-for-16 with runners in scoring position,
which is absurd.
7-for-16.
So I will not complain about a single thing, because you went 7-for-16. You almost batted 500 in 16 opportunities with the runners in scoring position.
Everyone besides Franmil had a hit, which, ouch.
That kind of tells you where he's at.
He's down pad right now. And 6 of the starters had a multi-hit game, which is fucking fantastic. J-Ram had the 2-run bomb and a double. Ahmed had that triple for 3 RBIs. We just, like I said, an onslaught of offense early.
Yep. Everybody just popped off.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about Tristan McKenzie is a majority owner of the fucking, I almost said the Cleveland Tigers. I don't know why. That's, in case anybody's like, why is he stuttering? That's why. My brain was like, whoa, back it up.
That's not right.
Majority owner of the Detroit Tigers. In his career, four starts, he's 2-0, has a 0.78 ERA in 23 innings pitched. And after his near-perfect game, where, you know, 8 innings of 1 hit, no run ball, he has an ongoing, this is still going, 16 consecutive scoreless innings against them. Majority owner of the Tigers franchise, dog.
Yeah.
So, we win a series. Woohoo!
We did. Woo! Let's against go. The Tigers. So, like, yeah, cool. They suck.
True. So then we go and we fly from Detroit to Minneapolis Monday through Wednesday for a 3-game set against the Twins. In game 1 on Monday was Quantrill versus Jax. And prior to this game, Mandy Bell tweeted out that Daniel Johnson has been
not DJ Johnson, because we got rid of that fuck.
Yeah,
Daniel Johnson.
And there's only one Rosario now.
Yep.
Okay?
Like,
there's
so much more fucking room in my brain now.
Yep. We just all green lights. It's like on the airwaves. Just, you know,
go, over go, here, baby. Go, we, go,
yeah,
go,
go, go, go. And you got to check it out at YouTube, 216 Baseball Pod plug, to see like our hand motion. So our it actually makes more sense. So Daniel Johnson recalled from AAA. Logan Allen has been optioned. Smell you later, bum. Indians come in looking to keep the good times rolling. They win the Tigers series prior to obviously heading to Minneapolis. Like I said, they're going to once again have the opportunity to win back-to-back games. Yet they once again cannot get any type of momentum. The Twins walk them off to take the series opener. Quick line, Minnesota 5 on 14 hits, four errors, okay, the Twins had, and we let them beat us. That hits different. Cleveland, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. Quick scoring highlight, bottom of the first, Max Kepler, solo shot, 16th of the year. Twins take an early 1-0 lead. Top of the second, though, Bradley Zimmer, 2-run monster shot.
Fucking bomb. Straight to the ivy and center.
Yep, he drilled like halfway up the batter's eye and center.
Yeah.
I mean, he nailed that thing. That's his 5th of the year, so a little power.
And it's all been within like the past month and a half.
I know. And the Tribe now takes a 2-1 lead, so let's go, baby. Bottom of the third, Josh Donaldson, RBI single, though. Twins tie it right back up, 2 apiece. Bottom of the fourth, Max Kepler, RBI ground out. So now the Twins are back on top, 3-2. Top of the fifth, Jose, RBI single. He's heating up. Ties it back up at 3 apiece. Let's go, baby. Top of the sixth, Austin Hedges, RBI double. We got the lead now, 4-3. Yeah. Let's go.
He had the double, set on second. He gave like a little Rocky Balboa. Like,
yeah, he's just like, ah. Yeah, he's like, you want shots, second baseman? Oh, get the shit out of you. Bottom of the sixth, though, Ryan Jeffers, solo shot, his 11th of the year. Twins tie it up at 4 apiece. And then we go 4 innings before, in the bottom of the 10th, Jorge Polanco hits an RBI double, and the Twins walk it off 5-4.
Peng. Yep. Yeah, I mean, we it's fun watching competitive games like this.
Yep.
And it makes for good baseball. But God, does it hurt when you lose these games, especially when a team has 4 errors. There's so many opportunities for you to win this. So, yep. Like,
it just, they hit different because yeah. They're winnable. And it just, like, and it sucks because we're finally playing better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say a better brand necessarily, but we're just like, we got some.
Our
like,
offense is
life.
Clicking. Yeah, we're scrapping. And, like, our bullpen's been up and down, but, like, Our starting pitching is starting to click more. Like, we're starting to have like a legit rotation.
Yep.
And like, it's going to be even better next year. Like, these are the games that make me, as much as they suck losing, obviously, these are the mm-hmm. games that make me excited for next year. Because you see, Kyle Quantrill kind of, like, this is probably the worst start he's had in like the past 7 starts. Mm-hmm. But he does get hit. This is kind of going into my game highlights, so it's a good segue. Yeah,
beautiful
transition. He gets hit on the wrist in the first inning in this one, right on his glove hand, which might have had some. He stayed in the game. He was fine, powered through it because he's a tough son of a bitch. But might have had some, like it might have just had some effect, maybe. I don't know. But these are the type of games that make me excited for next year because the offense was clicking, right? Like, it wasn't a bad offensive night. The starting pitching was, we know Cal Quantrill can be that guy. So I'm not super worried about like this start. And the bullpen comes in and doesn't like, they don't like give the game. Like they give the game up, but like they don't have a bad outing. They just got beat.
Yeah.
It's not a game that we gave up. It's a game we just got beat. Yep. Besides one thing, and I'm about to get very fucking passionate about this.
Go for
and it. You would think that since we recorded this already, I would have had a couple days to cool down. Fucking nope. No. Oh, boy. Ahmed Rosario. I've said this to you. I've said this on the podcast. He's not our future at shortstop. The dude is a slightly below average defender at shortstop. If we have somewhere for him, it can't be middle infield. I don't even think he can play second base at this point. In the bottom of the third inning, when Polanco scored on Donaldson's RBI, Miles Straw made a perfect throw to Ahmed for a relay. And having played baseball for so long, every single person in the Indians organization is yelling home, four, something like that, right? Is screaming. Jose takes this ball, casually turns around, and it's like, oh, fuck, wait, shit, Polanco's running home. And hurry up, rushes a throw, and makes a terrible throw home. And if he would have just taken it like a routine relay throw, taking it, crow hopped, and like, just like, even if you don't throw it, you crow hop, act like you're like, okay, it. You could have just made a decent throw, because even when he rushed it, he had him by a couple steps while casually turning around. If you would have made a decent throw and just handled it like a routine cutoff, then you would have gotten him out. And guess what? We win this game because that – you can't say we win this game, but like, one run is what decided it.
Yeah.
And this gave up a run. Like, this isn't – this wasn't classified as an error. But it fucking should have been, because this is one of those things that Ahmed does where it's not like he just makes he doesn't throw a ball away. He just makes a fucking lazy mistake because he's just not paying attention. And this has happened multiple times this year. And I would rather someone like just make a bad throw rather than make a play like this, because this just is like, I don't really give a fuck right now. Like, nothing's happening. It's just lackluster, careless play. And not only did one of our – you're our starting shortstop right now. You are the leader of the infield. You're supposed to be the guy that doesn't make these plays. You're supposed to be the one that tries. Like we talk about Francisco Lindor, like how he kind of gave up. But he still made these plays. Like, these are the plays that you make if you're the starting shortstop, that you have to make day in and day out. These are the plays that define like a guy. If Ahmed's going to be making these plays, he doesn't need to be a part of our future. You have Jimenez, who's a dog. He's a defensive dog. You have Ernie Clement that we've seen make fucking phenomenal defensive plays.
Yeah,
Owen Miller can play second base above. Like, he can play there. And plus, we have people in our farm system that are infielders that can fucking ball out too. Like, if Ahmed's going to be making these plays, right? I don't care how good his offense is. You can fucking replace him. Yeah.
You gotta play him in left field or something.
You can't be making these defensive plays and be a starting shortstop in Major League Baseball.
Yep. I'm with you. You good? I agree with you 100%. I just want to make sure you're good. Yeah, you drank that, and I'll tell you about Quantrill. So he gives you 5 innings of 8 hit, 3 earned run, 1 walk ball, and 4 strikeouts, and takes a no decision.
Yeah.
It's not a sharp start by any means. He really had to labor to get through 5. And while it's not a great start, he fucking grinded it out, and he kept his team in the game.
Yeah.
And that's baseball, baby. That is a true starter presence, that you go out there when nothing's working. You know, you got almost a 2 whip in 5 innings. Not good. But you grind it out, and you get through 5 innings of 3 earned runs to keep your team in the game, protect the bullpen.
Corey Kluber mindset.
Yeah, you're just a unit. You just go out there and you perform, and he wanted to stay out there. I mean, 92 pitches, only 51 strikes. He just couldn't locate. It was just one of those days for him. After getting
hit on the wrist by a line drive comebacker.
But he had to go out there and just get it done. So bullpen then is asked to give you, because of the extra innings, 4 2/3. It would have been 5, but obviously the walk-off. So 4 2/3 of 6 hit, 5 walk, 2 runs, only one of them are earned because of the extras, ball with 4 strikeouts. Garza makes up an inning and a third of that. He pitches an inning and a third of 1 run, 2 hit, and 1 walk ball. It strikes out 3. Mm-hmm. Not great, but that's baseball. Parker gives you 2/3 of a scoreless inning, and walks 1. Karinchak gives you a scoreless 8th, so nice bounce back for him there. Yeah,
came in a high leverage situation, game tied up, and the 8th goes to the 9th without any runs. So,
just 1 hit for him, too. Not the sharpest, about 50% balls and strikes, a little bit more, but he got you through it.
The thing is, like, a lot of Karinchak's stuff moves. So, like,
it's his curveball. It's supposed to be.
So, it's not going to be a strike. So, he's not going to have, like, a high strike-to-ball ratio, because his stuff is like, I'm going to get you to swing at something in the dirt.
Yeah. And then Wickrins has to pitch the 9th and 10th. He gets you 4 outs. But he really has to labor. He gives up 3 hits, 3 walks, and that unearned run, the Polanco RBI double or single or whatever it was that you know, walks it off. But yeah, just a rough one. He takes a sixth loss of the year. I mean, but all things considered, yeah, one earned run across 4 2/3. Two runs, one of them earned from your bullpen.
It's not
necessarily their fault.
Game that we gave up. We just got beat. And this happens. You competed.
And they suck.
Yeah. You competed, but you just got beat.
Yep.
And, obviously, 8 strikeouts, 3 walks isn't going to help. Which, it's not terrible, but striking out 8 times isn't going to help you win a baseball game. Let alone leaving 16 runners on base. Those numbers aren't going to help you win a baseball game. Only had the 8 hits. 3 of them are extra base hits. I got, something in my eye.
Oh no, baby! You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'll get through it. We went 3 for 12 with runners in scoring position, which again isn't bad, but isn't great. Ahmed and Bradley Zimmer both had 2 hits. Zimmer had the 2-run moonshot, a single, and a stolen base. So
doing all of it.
Yeah, Zimmer had a fucking night. Then Franmil Mercado and Owen Miller all went 0-for. So, not very good from those guys. And even though Ahmed had 2 hits, doesn't make up for his fucking defensive play.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, we drop game 1. Game 2 is Morgan versus Ober. Indians come in looking to get back in the win column as they once again cannot string wins together to save their lives. Mm-hmm. They drop the series opener in dramatic fashion, a la walk-off, like we just said. But they send Morgan to the mound, trying to have a bounce back after a really bad A's start. And he gets the job done. Kid delivers with a great start. Quick line, Cleveland, 3 runs on 7 hits and no errors. Minnesota, 1 run on 4 hits and 2 errors. And quick scoring highlights, top of the 5th. So no action there for a while. Top of the 5th, Daniel Johnson, 2-run bomb. He says, fuck yeah, you call me back up.
Back to the bigs, baby. Let's go.
That's his 3rd of the year. Tribe breaks the 4-inning tie by taking a 2-0 lead. Top of the 6th, Wilson Ramos, sack fly, extends the Tribe's lead 3-0. Bottom of the 8th, though, Jorge Polanco grounds out with the bases loaded. S scores 1, but the Twins still trail it 3-1. And that's how it stays. Indians take game 2, baby.
Yeah, and coming into this one, Jose is 7th in the American League in extra base hits. 7th. And we've talked about it, right? Jose's had an off year. He hasn't been playing like Jose can play.
Yeah, I think more from an average standpoint, but when he does hit the ball, he is an extra bases machine.
Yeah, and he's just been, it's crazy to think about, he can be more. But he's still 7th in the American League in extra base hits. Nuts. And then in the bottom of the 2nd with the bases loaded, Eli Morgan and Wilson Ramos make probably one of the prettiest double plays you'll see all year. Little check swing blooper back to Eli Morgan. He throws the ball home to Wilson Ramos, and then Ramos delivers a fucking strike to first base to turn the double play to secure or to save a run. So ain't nothing better than that, baby.
That got him out of the run. Or beautiful. That got him out of it, right?
Yeah.
So they were bases loaded, 1 out to, I'm out. Well, you're out of it now.
Yeah.
So just good fundamentals, baby.
Yeah. And then Jose gets doubled up on a weird sack fly. Wilson Ramos fucking got a hold of one and hits a deep, deep center field. It was middle of the warning track deep. This ball was fucking nuked. And their center fielder makes a great play on it. And Jose kind of just makes a very – not a base running mistake, right? He just goes a little bit too far. He gets he rounds second base a little bit and then just gets beat back to first on the throw. But it's understandable because the ball was fucking nuked. And off the bat, I was like, there's no way anyone's catching that. The ball's fucking gone.
Yeah, and he
off
the gone wall first at least. To home on it.
Yeah. But it's still a base running mistake. You can't be making those plays. You're not gonna even complain about it too much because we won. But still, those are mistakes that will playing a better team will cost you.
Yep.
If you're playing anyone else other than the Minnesota Twins at this point, that one run's going to cost you.
Yeah.
So.
It's just a freak kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Morgan, man, 6 innings of 3 hit, 2 walk, no runs, and 8 strikeouts, all right?
Yeah.
And gets the dub. He just absolutely shoved.
And I wrote down, like, next year, our starting rotation, Bieber, Plesac, Savali, T-Mac, if he can keep his shit together.
His mental shit seems like it's locked back in.
Yeah. So if he can keep that going, Cal Quantrill and Eli Morgan run a six man fucking rotation. Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah. People are saying, like, oh, they're kind of wanting to exclude Morgan. I'm like, fuck that. Run a 6-man rotation all day between the bumps and bruises, the long season, and just Eli Morgan's off days, like that.
Worst case scenario, you give Eli Morgan, like, if he like doesn't perform next year, right? Yeah, if you give him if you give him like 2 months next year, right? If he plays like he has this year, fucking fantastic, right?
Yep.
If not, like, you gave it a shot and you still have a 5-man rotation. So, like,
you have nothing to lose. Ready to go out of nowhere. That makes for a really good fourth, fifth kind of option if one of your five go down.
Exactly.
Which I love Morgan. I would rather see us, because of the potential for ups and downs, just run a 6-man rotation all year and just roll with it. Like, let Bieber go every 6 day and probably Savali, but, like, everybody else, let them go on 6 days. Like, who cares? You know, just, I know that'll push it back the rotation a little bit, but who cares? You got the stuff. Give people a break. It's a long season,
and
man.
And, like, six man rotations, like, you have more you can do with matchups and stuff, and it saves your bullpen a little bit. Like,
You could even have Morgan come in. Yeah, you could have Morgan come in if T-Mac or Quantrill or someone gets blown
up. And, like, a very long relief. Have them come in and
do 5 innings. Yeah, do 5 innings or some shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I will say having a true starter come in, there's a difference between the way you prepare for, like, a start to preparing out of the bullpen. So that's, I feel like that'll throw Eli Morgan off a little. I see what you're saying. And I don't, like, in concept, I don't disagree with you, but, like, in practice, I don't think it would work.
Yeah, I don't think it should be every time. It's just in those ones where, say, he's supposed to go tomorrow, but, you know, someone gets blown up, you know, let him go. I doubt they'll do that, unfortunately, and it's kind of frustrating, but there's a lot of bumps and bruises, and you never have to really show, like, oh, yeah, this guy's hurting or, you know, this or that. You can kind of hide that with a 6-man rotation. Just let everybody ease in and take it easy, especially when a lot of these kids are doing it for the first time this year. It's a lot of innings, you know, let them ease back into it. But otherwise, you send Morgan down and then you got to call him back. Like, just let them stay in this flow. They've shown they can freaking do it. Anyway, I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah. There's no difference between us, like, keeping him up there and keeping him. Like, the only thing we're losing out is this guy
service
playing
time.
Professionals. Like,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. True. Like, and he's shown he can do it against everybody. Second time he's seen teams, all that. Like, he can do it. He's a guy. So the bullpen is great. You only ask to give 3 innings. So let's go. And they give you 3 innings of 1 hit, 1 earned run, 3 walk, and 3 strikeout ball. Shaw gives you a scoreless 7th, gives up a hit. Stephan comes in for the 8th. He gets banged up. He walks 3 straight, doesn't get a single out, and ends up getting tagged with a run that Karinchak inherited. So on the flip side, Karinchak, in a close game, comes in, bases loaded, nobody out, and he finishes off the 8th, giving up just 1 unearned run on a ground out. But not bad at all, because he literally inherited bases loaded, nobody out, and he got 3 outs.
Like, 3 straight outs.
Nobody's on base, that ground out doesn't score a run. Again, it wasn't earned, because it wasn't his run.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
and again,
that's a good sign. You know,
he comes back in a high, a very high, like, there doesn't get more high leverage than bases loaded, nobody out, when your team's up by 3. Like, that's as, like, high leverage as it gets at this point, other than it being the fucking playoffs. But, like, It doesn't get more high leverage than this. And he comes in, he fucking shoves.
All right, so we had a little technical difficulty, but I do agree with everything Paul said, even if I couldn't hear it because they don't want to see us win. It was for a dumb reason this time. But yeah, good to see Karinchak get out of a super high leverage situation and get out there and get it. And yeah. Klasse just comes in, shoves a perfect ninth inning because that's just what he does. Two strikeouts, gets his 17th save of the year. Bada bing, bada boom. We win game two, and we're cooking with gas.
Yeah,
talking about the offense.
The pitching is what carried us in this one. Obviously, low scoring game, so defense and pitching is what got us there. But six strikeouts to no walks, which love the low strikeout number, but no walks is pretty not making Paul a happy boy. we left nine runners on base, which all things considered not bad. Seeing that we had seven hits, so. Nothing to complain about it. Out of our seven hits, three of them were extra base hits, so almost at that 50% extra base hit clip that we've been talking about. And Daniel Johnson is the difference maker in this one. Fucking the two-run home run after getting called back up the day prior. Jose and Chang both doubled. Straw, Ramos, and Jimenez all go 0-for in this one. But, yeah, I mean, we won. That's all I can say.
Yeah, pitching dominated it. That's that. So we'll shut up and be happy. So game three, Plesac versus Thorpe. Indians come in looking once again. I am once again asking you to win back-to-back games, which is a very desirable outcome in the baseball world, Paul, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
After losing in dramatic fashion on Monday, elite pitching sealed game two, and then they're going to send Plesac to the bump to try and win the series. Unfortunately, he's not able to repeat his start against the Tigers. They tag him for six runs and ultimately walk it off in the 11th inning after some ninth inning magic from the Tribe. We'll talk about that. Quick line, Minnesota 8 on 10 hits and 2 errors. Cleveland 7 runs, 7 hits and 2 errors. Quick scoring highlights, top of the first, Jose solo shot. Let's go, baby. 27th of the year. Tribe takes an early 1-0 lead. Bottom of the first, though, Jorge Polanco, RBI single. Twins tie it right back up. Top of the second, Miles Straw walks with the bases loaded, brings home a run, and the Indians get a 2-1 lead. Top of the third, Owen Miller, RBI double. Okay. Tribe extends their lead 3-1. Top of the fourth, Ahmed Rosario, RBI double. Tribe now on top 4-1. Just a big old shootout.
Yeah.
Bottom of the fourth, Miguel Sano, solo shot, his 20th of the year. He is built different. Twins still trail at 4-2, though. Top of the fifth, Franmil, solo shot. Good to see that. 21st of the year. Indians extend their lead 5-2, so a little bit of cushion. And this is moments before disaster strikes, though. Bottom of the fifth, Luis Arraez, RBI single. So Twins trail at 5-3. But then Miguel Sano hits a two-run double. Twins tie it up now, 5 apiece. Nick Gordon then hits an RBI single. Twins now lead at 6-5. And then Andrelton Simmons hits an RBI ground rule double, and the Twins extend their lead 7-5. So just not good. Top of the ninth, though, Jose, RBI double. So now Tribe just trails at 7-6. And then Bradley Zimmer walks on what ends up being a wild pitch that allows Jose to score from third, and the Tribe ties it up 7-7. So let's go, baby. A little we can't lose this game.
So it was on back-to-back wild pitches, because a wild pitch is how Jose got the third. And then a wild pitch, literally the next pitch, is how Jose scored.
Yep. That's showbiz, baby. Bottom of the 11th, Jorge Polanco, RBI walk-off single. That's his second walk-off hit of the series, and the Twins take game three in the series.
And not only is it his second walk-off of the series, that's his third walk-off of Minnesota's homestand that they've had the past week and a half. Like, talk about clutch hitting. Fucking Jorge Polanco's ice in his fucking veins. True. Flu game Jordan right now.
Yeah. Exactly, like, which we all learned that was actually food poisoning, but nonetheless. Talk to me about the defense, though. Miles Straw, man.
Yeah, holy fucking crap. In the 10th, Miles Straw, we talk about it, I feel like, every series now. This dude saves the game from going, from ending in the 10th by making a fantastic sliding catch to push it to the 11th. We finessed the Houston Astros. We sent them literally a bag of peanuts and got an elite defender and a very good leadoff hitter.
Yep. Finessed. They've been bamboozled.
Hoodwinked.
Hoodwinked.
Flim-flammed.
So, Plesac, though, 4 2/3, 6 hits, 6 runs, 5 of them are earned, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, a no decision. And he just fell apart in the 5th inning, dude. He had only given up 2 runs prior to that, even though he was laboring. But then that 5th inning, they just bent him.
Yeah.
And it's just a really disappointing start after he bounced back hard against the Tigers and, you know, showed us 7 2/3, a 2-run ball.
Like I said in the Tigers game, right? And this one, he looked stiff and not relaxed and just like he was forcing things. And that's – there's guys that are like that are stiff, like a Corey Kluber, right? Corey Kluber's just a stiff individual. He's a fucking robot. And that's not Plesac. Plesac's a very loose, a fucking goofball that needs to go out there and play like that. He needs to play loose. That's who he is. And so if you see him – like if he's playing stressed out, it's starting to fucking show. In an outing like this where he gives up 5 runs.
Yep. Just sucks, man.
Yeah.
It's not it. But the bullpen then is asked again, because we go to the 11th, to give you 5, technically 6 innings if we would have kept it going. But they only do 5 2/3, which is literally a starter's load. And they give you 5 2/3 of 2 run. Only one of those are earned. Okay. So 5 2/3 of 1 earned run ball with 4 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Alex Young comes in, gives you an inning and a third of 1 run, 3 hit, and 1 walk ball. So just not, he's been having a hell of a time since he's been called up. Parker gives you a perfect 7th. Shaw gives you a perfect 8th. Class A gives you a perfect 9th. Wickren gives you a scoreless 10th, walking 1 and striking out 1. So, like, from after Alex Young, it's like, holy shit.
We have a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance.
3 perfect innings, and then Wickren, you know, in the 4th inning there, so for the 10th, but the 4th, you know, inning in a row, just gives up 1 walk. So it's like, okay, you know, and then but it's still scoreless. And then Garza comes out for the 11th, gives up a hit. Intentionally, they end up intentionally walking Jake Cave. And then he gives up the game-winning hit. So bases are juiced at that point. And, you know, it kind of sucks. I mean, no matter what, he would have given it up probably, or we don't know. But he gets a quick out, and then there's an error on Owen Miller, a fielding error. So there would have been 2 outs there and coulda, shoulda, woulda. But you just never really know. You know, one more out certainly doesn't hurt anything. And then that led to the intentional walk because they're going for, that wouldn't have been, that'd have been the double. Well, they just wanted to intentionally walk Jake Cave because he's a monster.
Well, that and it loads the bases, so there's a force out everywhere now.
Yeah, that's true too. I was thinking double play and then I stopped going, you're right, but force out everywhere. But, you know, who knows? Maybe nothing happens, but you think about instead of runners on first and second with 1 out, you would have had runner on second, like it started with 2 outs and maybe his mindset. So just dumb late errors are never going to help you, even though we'll never know what happened.
Yeah. They walked them because instead of having runners on first and third with 1 out, now they have runners. The bases are loaded.
Yeah, you so got a force everywhere.
Yeah.
And you still got the double play, even if that's how it works. But yeah, it's just tough. Talk to me about the offense, though, because it clearly wasn't the bullpen's fault.
Yeah, I mean, fucking 6 strikeouts and 10 walks, which is fucking fantastic.
Like, yeah, that's probably the best this year. Yeah. 6 strikeouts, 10 walks. Let's go.
But, 24 runners left on base. 24.
I hate it here.
But, 7 hits. 7. 6 of them were extra base hits.
Yeah, which is just awesome. Like, and you do again, not need to do that.
This is just a game where we just got beat. Like, We just lost. Like, we played well. When we got runners on, we weren't getting them over. We weren't getting them in. So, obviously, that's why we didn't score runs. But, like, six extra base hits. The bullpen was there. Obviously, we talked about Plesac kind of throwing it up. But, like, we just got beat. Like, there's nothing really more than that. Went 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position, which is, again, you're not going to win like that.
Can you say that again for me?
We went 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position.
2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. You had 17 shots and you hit two of them. You had 15 times that you shit the bed, which is how you left 24 on base. You deserve to lose this game.
Uh-huh.
This game was winnable. Holy hell.
Yeah. Jose had two hits, the solo shot and a double. Ahmed had two hits, a single and a double. Franmil, hopefully this is how he gets out of it, because he got the solo shot. So hopefully this is the start of him getting out of this little slump he's in.
The start of something new.
But Miller, Straw, and Zimmer all had a stolen base because they're all fast as fuck.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, that was Miller's first stolen bag, I think, too.
Yeah. That's so, because he's not slow. Like, he's quick. And you can tell he's quick by, like, how he gets out of the box and on defense. There's a difference between quick and fast. So I think he's more quick than he is fast.
Yeah. No, Zimmer and Straw and Ahmed are just fast.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they all have stolen bases. So three stolen bases in this one, which is how you. Three stolen bases is how you get 17 runners in scoring position, and you only hit two of them in. So fucking suck my nads.
Yep, true. So we dropped game three and the series, which is just a bummer. Lately, all we're doing is the coin flip is not coming up heads at all.
Every other game.
Yeah, we're fucking brutal.
Literally, it was every other game these past two series, right?
For like a month, basically.
Up until this Athletics series.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten swept and we lost some, but like we just cannot win. It's like every other, we just keep going and going. Yeah. And it's just like, this is why we're three games under 500, which that's my only expectation. Just get above 500 by the end of the year. We are at least a 500 ball club. Like, and we got to start having these come up.
I'm going to be real. September is not looking good for us because, oh my fucking God. We've talked about it. September's a rough month for the Cleveland Indians.
And like almost the last week, the second to last series or third to last series is 5 against the White Sox.
Yeah.
But hey, we hold our own against them because they're in the division. But
and right after we play 3 against the Yankees. Like,
ooh, I didn't know we saw them in September. Just finish above 500.
Because remember, we talked about going to New York to see it.
Yeah, that's true. But we ended up going to the Cardinals.
Yep.
So, another time.
Yeah. But, yeah, right after we play the Yankees, we turn around and play the White Sox. Yeah.
Fucking Yanks. Ever since Jeter retired, the city's changed. The Yankees have changed. You got Aaron Boone doing stuff. It's not the same team. Steinbrenner, he should be absolutely ashamed of that team. They're just out there with that Aaron Judge character. I just don't trust him. Him and Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, those paisans, I just don't trust them. City's changed, baby.
All right. We're getting into who's hot, who's not after that fucking monologue. Kyle Quantrill stayed on. He's lowered down to an 8.25. He had that one mediocre start, but he's been fucking lights out for the past month and a half. Last three starts, 18 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 15 hits given up, 4 walks, and 19 strikeouts.
Yep.
So
with the two... You know, kind of grinded it out against the Twins and then just kind of a decent. I mean, he's just been God. So I say decent, but, you know, just a decent above average start against the Tigers as well.
Yeah.
Still, his last three starts, a 2.5 ERA and a 1.06 whip. He's still a dude.
Yeah. And that godlike performance is carrying him. Like, the guy's, he's. going to be a dude up here for a while.
Literally since the first episode or two, I've been saying that he was always projected coming from over from the Padres in the trades and stuff. I think it was with Clevinger. Like, he was supposed to be a real, like, legit
starter. We dogged that Clevinger trade, too. Like, fuck. Yep.
They got him for, we saved, like, $4 million. And who knows what he was going to get in arbitration the next year. We got rid of a piece of shit human being. And they got him for like less than a month and he needed Tommy John.
Yep.
And we literally got, I think, we got Franmil, we got Cal Quantrill, we got Owen Miller, and we got Josh Naylor in that
deal. Yeah.
And I think we got another lower prospect as well. So
get dogged. Yeah. Same thing with the Kluber trade. We want that because
he was number one finesse. We dumped $18 million for him to pitch one inning for the Rangers, and he literally got Class A for 5.5 years.
Yeah.
We literally got the hardest throwing like pitcher by statistic, like his average fastball, the hardest throwing pitcher in baseball, our closer, who throws 102. For like now, what, another 4.5 years?
Yeah.
For an inning of Corey Kluber. And we saved $18
million. Yep.
The greatest finesse of all time.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. That makes me happy. But yep. Ahmed Rosario staying on. He's going down to a 7.5, though. So he's on by pubic hair. But
one thing, and I'll turn this car around.
In the Tigers series, he went 3-for-10, so batting .333. Had one run, 4 RBIs, 2 strikeouts, no walks. And then the Twin Series went 5-for-15 with 2 runs, an RBI, 2 strikeouts, and no walks. So in the last 7 games, he's batting .273 with a .273 OBP, a .424 slugging, and a .697 OPS. So literally no walks in the past 7 games, just all base hits, baby.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the OPS below league average, the slugging below league average, the OBP is not good. The average is there, but you got to hit for, it sounds funny, you hit .333, but you got to hit, you got to do more than that, right? And so he's still on. He's doing what he needs to. He had
5 RBIs, so.
And 3 runs scored. He did. But, you know, that Twin Series, a lot of opportunities and no walks, you know, in 25 at bats, so. Again, I'm not going to complain, but that OBP and or
yeah, the slugging needs to come up. Yeah, he also had 8 hits and 25 at-bats, so.
Yeah, no, it's true, and that's great for our two-hole hitter. I'm not complaining, but when you think about where we're going to keep him on the list, he needs to really show up in the
And he needs to fucking series. Play defense, or else I swear to God.
True.
That his defense makes me almost want to take him off.
Oh, shit. Well, you might get that chance.
All right, and then also, obviously, fucking T-Mac's got to go on to who's hot list.
Because
he threw a perfect game. In his last 3 starts against the Tigers, the A's, and the Blue Jays, 21 innings pitched, a 2.14 ERA, and a .52 whip. .52 whip in 21 innings against the Tigers, who are bad this year. But like we said, they're not a bad offensive team. But the A's and the Blue Jays are fucking dogs.
Yep. So this isn't, I was kind of surprised when I saw it too, because it wasn't just the almost perfect game that did this. Like, yeah. He's actually been like, eat my butt good. Like,
yeah. I'm fucking here for it.
Let's go. Tell me who's not, though.
Yeah. Zach Plesac obviously has got to go on it, right? He had that one good start, and we were ready to take him off this list. And then the shit started against the Twins. In the month of August, which is 4 starts, 21 1/3 innings pitched, 19 runs given up, 17 of them were earned, 23 hits, 5 walks, 5 home runs, and 17 strikeouts. Which I like the 5 walks in 21 innings. Like, his walks are down. Yeah,
that's good.
But let's go. A 7.17 ERA and a 1.31 whip. Just like I said, this whole month, he's been, besides the Tiger start, he's been playing tight, and he's been forcing stuff. So hopefully we can take him off. I think what we talked about at 4.5 is when you get off the not list.
I think 3.5. We 3. Never really 5. Said it. I feel like 3.5.
3.5. So he's close. Owen Miller and the Tigers, he's coming on. He's at a 3. And the Tiger series went 1-for-11 with no runs, an RBI, a walk, and 6 strikeouts. And in the Twins series, 1-for-13 with 2 runs, a home run, 1 RBI, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So progress. He has 2 hits in his last 27 at-bats, which are it's just doo-doo butter.
Yep.
In his last 7 games, he's batting 200 with a 250 OBP, a 240 slugging, and a 490 OPS. So
while it's on the upswing, it's still
dog shit. It's progress, and maybe this is how he starts getting out of this this 27 hit or 27 at bat rut that he's been in.
Yep.
And Fran Mail. He's on a 1.
What is you doing? Yep. Probably and the lowest we've marked anybody all year.
He is down bad. He's in a very bad slump right now. In the Tiger series, 1-for-11 with 1 run, an RBI, a walk, and 6 strikeouts. In the Twin series, 1-for-13 with 2 runs, a home run, 1 RBI, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's 2 for his last 27. In his last 7 games, he's batting .074 with a .194 OBP, a .185 slugging, and a 3.79 or a .379 OPS.
We cannot have anything nice, folks.
Fran mail.
Baby.
I know you can do it. And here's the thing. Nothing will ever make me not a Fran mail stan. Because we know he can do it. And he's going through a slump, which everyone in baseball does. And this happens. But come on, big guy. You got to get out of it. Please. For me.
We need you. Please, God, please.
But yeah, he's got to stay on it. I mean, like we said, this happens. And like, hopefully he can fucking turn it around. Because we need the pop.
We do. So that's where it's at.
Yep, that's the quick who's, ALs. Not, who's not.
True. You got it, baby. You nailed it. AL Central, just be quick. You know, this is getting long. We're in second place. We're 12 games back. Detroit's in third. They're 13.5 back. And really my expectation, again, just stay in second. Like, get to at least 500 and just stay in second place, please. So we lost, you know, last 2 of 3. Detroit was on a 3-game skid, so now we've got a little separation there after we won the series against them, too. And then the wild card, you know, we're 9 games back. There's zero chance of this. So, New York now has been on top. They got a game lead for the first wild card spot at the time of, like, when I captured all these stats. They were on a 6-game win streak. And then Oakland is on a 4-game skid, so now they're tied with Boston, who has also fallen off the earth for second wild card. And then you got Seattle, Toronto, and then LA. But Seattle's 3, Toronto 4, LA 7.5. So really, I mean, I think it's gonna end up being New York, Oakland, or Boston in one of those. And it looks like New York's the real deal. And we'll skip to the future a little bit. They've won like 9 in a row. Like New York popping off.
Yeah, ever since the trade deadline, they added fucking. I mean, Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo are both fucking dudes. And they added them to a very potent, existing offense. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge. We talked about Gary Sanchez being a piece of shit, but he can hit.
I mean, they have a fucking $200 million payroll or just under. Like, man, you want to talk about a team that underperformed and just had no chemistry, nothing going all year, and now it's like, oversnapped into place. It's like they just underperformed all year. Now it's like,
is what happens when you're fucking your management's like, oh fuck, we're close, we need players, let's go get some fucking dogs.
Yeah. And that you want to talk about people that finessed. God. They like stayed under the luxury tax while getting people. They got all these players and got them to pay for Rizzo's salary and Gallo. You want to talk about finesse? Go dig into the details of those.
Fucking Yankees, Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo. Like,
I know Rizzo's such a like dude that you would like trust to date your sister kind of guy.
Yeah.
You just look and at that guy and you're like,
Joey Gallo can fucking smash. Like he's the,
yeah, he's one of the best power hitters, just pure raw.
I'm so upset.
The whole Yankees lineup is, and a gold glove, and he'll probably win it in the outfield again this year. Like Joey Gallo, super high on, he's the definition of the current player, lower average, high OBP masher. When they do hit the ball, it's gone, but they get on base and he plays incredible defense. Like he's a gold glover in the outfield.
So. Do they have him playing left field and they still have Aaron Judge in right, or did they swap?
Yeah, I believe so. Their problem is they got 70 H's. So they got they don't want Giancarlo. Fuck the Yankees. But yeah, they right now it seems like he's playing left, keep Judge in right, and then that stuff's going on. So we don't have any news either.
There is there is one thing of news that I do want to bring up.
Okay.
And it was when we got through the whole thing the other day, it was breaking news then, but now it's not breaking news.
Yeah, but true. It happened in real time. You guys, the like ticker, it was like da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Player Association, after 70 years, is changing their trading card supplier from Topps to Fanatics. So everything to do with Major League Baseball is slowly switching over to Fanatics. There are stores through Fanatics, and now the playing cards is going to be going through Fanatics. So this is starting in 2026, but 70 years with Topps. 70 years. That's people's lifetime. Like that. Like that's crazy. Yeah, I mean,
Topps is like the thing.
Yeah. So, it's pretty big news for just baseball in general. After 70 years, they're switching it up. Other than that, no really. There's the uniforms. They have the Little League Classic game coming up on what's tomorrow now against the Angels, which is
Sunday's game.
Yeah, Sunday's game, which is, I like the uniforms. We talked about it. They wouldn't be good like everyday uniforms, but they're good like one-off uniforms, kind of like the player weekend uniforms.
Yeah. Like in a vacuum, I think other people think they're like a little cooler than they are, in my opinion. But I can agree, they look pretty good. And for a one game, like you're saying,
yeah,
it's just, I still like them. They're
the
not
whole
ugly.
Aspect is them for them to look like Little League uniforms. Because yeah, that's exactly. The whole point.
I guess I should keep that in mind too.
And the Little League World Series is going on right now as we're recording this, so that's exciting. One of my
Shout
favorite
out to the little kids.
It's one of my favorite things to watch because it's baseball and we love baseball, but it's so like it's so much fun to watch like little kids be excited about baseball and to see them compete.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Some chubby little like third baseman's like, I just hit dingers, and I'm like, I love that energy. Can't ever
change.
Ever change.
Big Al, baby.
Yeah, Big Al. So we got three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Angels, who are coming to Progressive Field. Game Ooh. One, Henches versus Berea, 7-10 start. Game two, Detmers versus McKenzie. That's a 4-10 start that's going on right now as we're recording. And then game three, the finale is this? Well, yeah, it's got to be on ESPN or it's Sunday Night Baseball, right? For the little, like we just talked about, the Little League
Classic.
So 7-10 start, which you love to see the tribe on that. It's going to be Suarez versus Quantrill. Sorry, Big Dick Quantrill. Big Dick McKenzie. Big Dick T-Mac, TBH. Angels come in 61-61, 5-5 in their last 10. Indians come in 58-61. They're 4-6 in their last 10.
And I saw a stat today when I was sitting in the sauna after the gym, kind of going through news.
Gym sauna, dog. That shit's the best.
Yeah, we are fucking part owners of the Angels franchise. We've won like 16 of our last set. Well, spoiler alert, we won last night. But after winning last night, we've won 16 of the last 7, or it was 20 of the last 21 against LA. And then 16 of the last 17 at Progressive Field against the Angels.
So go for the sweep, baby, especially Sunday night baseball. I like that matchup. Suarez is actually pretty good. 5-6 with a 3.88, but Quantrill, I'll take that all day. And Detmers is a bum. He's 1-2 with 7.04 versus T-Mac, who's red hot. But they got some shooters. But, I mean, Trout has been out since May with the calf thing, which you hate to see. Rendon's out for the season with hip injuries. They still got some hitters.
Shohei.
Shohei, I mean, of course, is just a freak. But sweep them then. Get it out. Let's go. Get it.
Fuck them.
Get
above. Fuck your chicken strips.
Fuck them. You'd be above 500 if you get the sweep.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the Angels and Indians before. I mean, obviously the Indians.
You'd be at 500 if you get the sweep.
Did I say over? I'm sorry. I meant to say at. Sorry. At 500. Their pitching usually blows. Their bullpen kind of sucks. They play really good offense, and that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yep.
So go check out. I'll plug the original Angel series where we did maybe a little more in depth, but that's pretty much it. And we're coming up on, well, it won't quite be 2 hours once we cut it a little bit because technical difficulties, but we're happy to be back. Everything's going well for now. Fingers crossed if this actually gets out there. And if it did, you'll be hearing it. But thank you so much for listening and for hanging around for 30 episodes. Seriously, we really, really appreciate it. We love doing this. Thank you for being patient on an episode that is one whole episode that's really late. And then this one's even a day late. But we're back. We think we've got it figured out with the technical stuff. And yeah, thanks so much, guys. We love doing it. So please subscribe. Follow, consider leaving us a review, and you can follow us at 216 Baseball Pod on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all of it at 216 Baseball Pod. And we're going to be back on Tuesday, maybe even Monday, probably Monday. We owe it to the people to get right back on
fast turnaround, hopefully
figure it out. Yeah, fast turnaround. All right, to give you an update on the Angels series. So go try, baby.
Yeah, guards up, baby. Let's go.